This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Powered by Insperity. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios with Bill Harmon and the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps. Here's John Granato. I hit it hard, man.
Good Saturday morning, everybody. John and Charlie in studio. Billy Harmon is going to be joining us from Palm Springs, where every sport is shut down the way it is right now.
Bam. And they did the right thing. I mean, in today, 2020, the availability of travel, meaning jets all over the world, the jets are bringing all this stuff in. I mean, you can't, yep. You know, everybody's free to travel, and I think our president did a good job in shutting it down for a while until we get really organized. But it's scary.
Yep. It's the rich people that are carrying this all over. I mean, you're going to foreign lands and bringing it back with you. And like, hey, rich people, all right, stop already with carrying stuff into our country. Okay, so we need to shut the rich people down is what we need to do, Charlie.
Okay.
All right. So
what is a rich person?
A rich person is somebody who's traveling to another country and bringing stuff back here. Okay, so that's enough of that. All right. So we got to shut that down. What we are going to do here is, well, we're going to try to talk some golf over the next hour. They have shut the PGA Tour down. So we'll take a look at all different stuff. I mean, we're going to take a different perspective here. Usually we talk about what's going on out on the tour.
Right.
And we don't have that ability today.
Well, there's things going on, very interesting.
Well, there are. There are some things behind the scenes that are actually happening on the PGA Tour, so we will talk about that. But we'll also have to talk a little bit about other stuff as well. So we have got a lot to do right here on the Charlie Epps Hour, brought to you by Insperity, Inspiring Business Performance, right here on the SB Nation Radio Network. This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Powered by Insperity. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios with Bill Harmon and the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps. Here's John Granato.
All right, welcome back to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, brought to you by Insperity, Inspiring Business Performance. John and Charlie in Houston. Billy is in his palatial estate in Palm Springs. Bill, welcome to the show. How are you?
Good morning, guys. How we doing?
Good. We were just talking about how unprecedented, Bill. We've never seen anything. It's not even close to this. Of course, everything shut down for 9/11 for a short amount of time. You know, there was some after President Kennedy was shot. The NFL, Pete Rozelle said the worst mistake he ever made was to play football that next weekend. But he thought it was best at that time to have the country go on. This is so unbelievable. We've never ever seen anything like this. So it's I don't know how we're going to act with at least a month of absolutely nothing on television for us to watch.
It's going to be hard. It really will be. I mean, but what's going on? And our good friend Bill Harmon is you're in a situation where you got to close down your club, right?
Yeah, yesterday I got an email yesterday afternoon that one of the members has the virus. So they're shutting down the club for 2 weeks. No employees. The members that have their own golf carts, they can't keep them from playing. But none of the facilities are open. And, in fact, I had to get my transponder will not work at the club for the next 2 weeks. So I had to get special permission to go over there at some point today just to pick up my club. So if I want to go play elsewhere or do something, which they granted me, of course. But, you know, the club Toscana is great. They're going to pay all the employees, which is very nice. But a lot of them, you know, get gratuities and things like that. So I really feel sorry myself. You know, although I lose 2 weeks of revenue, I feel sorry, really feel sorry for all the people in the country that are working from paycheck to paycheck, and I think we've kind of lost sight of that. You know, in this valley alone, they canceled the fifth largest tournament in the world, the Coachella Fest Rock Festival, Stagecoach Country Western, the LPGA ANA, which is kind of their Masters, and it's estimated that that will cost the community $1.2 billion in revenue. And that's just a small community here in Southern California. So when it hits home like this and it hits your own club and you're not allowed to even go on the property for 2 weeks, and you think of all the employees and all the construction people and all that stuff, it kind of hits home when it's in your own community and it's actually happening at your own place of employment. So, but you know, John, I would be shocked if anything even got to normal in the next month or so.
Yeah.
You know, and there's so much unknown about this. And as you said, there's never, ever been anything like this, certainly in my lifetime, that we have no idea how long this will last, you know, no idea whatsoever. And the ramifications on the people, and once again, I feel so much for the people that are working from paycheck to paycheck to support their families. And so although my situation is really pales in comparison, I can take the hit for this. I feel for the people that really, really negatively affects their lives.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, it's funny watching... Shutting down, they had to eventually shut down the Premier League. That was one of the last ones because one of the coaches had contracted the virus, and now one of the players, I guess, has. But they were playing the games without any fans there. And PSG, which is PSG was playing one of its games, and they wouldn't let any fans in. So instead, what they did was they all gathered thousands upon thousands of them outside, and they were watching on a big screen television, and they were closer than they would have been in the stadium all together. And they were all and it said, this doesn't make any sense at all. You're endangering them more than ever now by letting everybody come together. Golf, I kind of feel like, and you talked about it, Bill, you're going to go get your clubs. Golf is, I think, something that we can continue. There's only four of us, or five if you've got a caddy, and if you're really, really rich, you have four caddies. So you'll have eight people together at the most and playing together. And the large gatherings of people are what we're trying to avoid, obviously, right?
Right. No,
so in golf, if we have a foursome, the four of us all together, we're minimizing. Because I see a lot of people doing stuff just as normal. There are concert venues that are still open. I know I go and play cards, and we're all touching the chips and the money and everything else, and we're all sitting together at a table. I mean, it seems like, you know, that you know, it's business as usual in a lot of places, but we just can't have large gatherings. So that's the problem. Golf is the perfect with just four people together, and you're outside where a virus certainly is tougher to, because it will, you know, the wind will blow it and all of this, everything else, as long as you're not coughing in each other's faces, that would be awesome. Golf seems to be something that we can continue to do during this.
But, John, you just said, you know, rich people are bringing this over.
Well, right. So stay away from really, really rich people that have jets.
That have, you know,
but, you know, golf. John, you don't even know if you're going to contact it. Even in your poker game.
Yeah, right. You
know?
Right.
That there's so much unknown, I think, that how do you know that, you know, 2 weeks from now, one of those guys in your poker game has a virus, and now you guys might all have it.
Right.
You know? So I think there's so much unknown about this thing. And, you know, it seems to be an overreaction at some level, but, boy, what if it's much worse than we think and people just start dying all the time, and then... I don't know. I think that the fear of the unknown is also such a odd thing at this point in time in our lives, because it doesn't seem like the stories are getting better. It seems like everything is getting worse.
The experts have said this is not the peak of it. It's going to get worse before it gets better,
yeah.
And it'll get down to a curve. But I think our government are finally getting together and doing some great things to minimize the effect and put in just the ability to drive up to a parking lot and get a shot or an examination is really good, and a Walmart's going to do it. You know, so it's the ball is starting to roll, and we're just going to have to weather the storm.
Well, and the large gathering thing is the key, and shutting down sporting events. I think we've done a really good job, because what they're trying to avoid is just this giant slope going straight up of contracted viruses. What we're trying to keep it as a camelback,
right.
Keep it lower. Keep it lower, and so the hospitals aren't overrun. It's not, because it just gets worse and worse and worse if large groups of people are gathered together. Maybe it'll spread slower if we don't have large gatherings. So,
Bill, do you know if your member who has the virus, was he in China or did he get it locally? That'd be interesting.
Actually, it's a lady. And she hasn't been absolutely 100% told that she has it. She has all the symptoms. I guess she's going to go get tested, but she has all the symptoms. And they had already canceled all the member guest tournaments and things of that nature. Yesterday was supposed to be a nine and dine day. They canceled that because of all the people around. But they canceled that before this. No, she's been here. She's been here. She was on the range that I work at, Charlie, on the back of the range there, 3 or 4 days ago, hitting balls. So I was probably within 50 yards of her, I would say. But everybody is erring on the side of caution, as you know now. And, I just think that, let's say they didn't close the course or close the club and 20 people got infected with this because of her, and say three of them died, then who is that on, And so I think now that everyone is proceeding very cautiously and erring on the side of caution, it would appear to me. And but once again, we just know so little about it. And, it's easy to be brazen about it and say, well, I'm going to live my life and do all that stuff. But once again, I think of what John was saying, hand on the chips. And what if one of those guys has it,
No.
And the next thing you know, your whole group has it. You're going to go, wait a minute, that's a pretty expensive poker game we just played. So I don't know. It's uncharted waters for us, I think. I don't think any of us really know how to react.
Well, it scares the hell out of me, because everybody over 60 is really warning, and people over 70, and yeah. I'm 75, so I'm going to be very cautious of where I go.
Absolutely.
And what I do.
Absolutely. As few people as possible, you lessen your odds. It's so funny, though, the thing is, and you mentioned it, Bill, the liability. My sister-in-law is actually designing and doing work at homes. Old people homes, right? And she is she redecorates them, and they have shut down everything, because they're very susceptible there at nursing homes. So, but the thing that they talked about was mostly the liability. Is I don't so if anybody contracts it, they're going to come back and sue me because we.
But
how can you blame anyone? It's so funny. Rudy Gobert was the first guy that contracted it in the NBA, and he was touching all the mics, and he was touching his teammates and everything else. But his teammate has it, Donovan Mitchell. Who knows who got it first?
Yep.
Who gave it to whom? We don't know. They don't know. They don't know that Rudy Gobert was the one passing it to other people. It could have been Donovan Mitchell that passed it to him, even though Rudy Gobert was the one that was touching the microphone. And Rudy Gobert, though, is the face of this thing because of that microphone incident. But we don't know that he's the one that got contracted. He's not patient zero. We don't know that. No one does. So it's so funny. Everybody wants to put liability on everybody. This is something that you can't blame anyone. other than the initial people that didn't take care of business. But other than that, you can't put liability on anyone here, even though I'm sure everyone will try. It's 24 past the hour here on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, brought to you by Insperity, Inspiring Business Performance. Don't you go anywhere.
You're listening to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Powered by Insperity. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios with Bill Harmon and the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps. Here's John Granato.
Welcome back to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, brought to you by Insperity, Inspiring Business Performance. Guys, this thing, I'm pretty sure, I've heard all the conspiracy theories. I'm pretty sure this was started by Purell, Charmin, and Aquafina. They got together, and because they are certainly benefiting. And you know who else is benefiting? Is Netflix.
Yes.
Okay. While people
yes, they are.
Have all of this time, guys, what is the golf movie?
I'll be all over it.
What is the golf movie you suggest to everybody?
I don't suggest golf movies.
You don't like any?
I don't either. I'm not a big golf movie
you know,
guy.
But a good shoot 'em up.
No, there's you know. So there's honestly, it's really hard. Like Matt Damon's swing, it's hard to believe.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Who else has portrayed a golfer? It just doesn't work, really.
Kevin Costner,
Tim Cobb.
Yeah, I still think Caddyshack was the best one, and I've never even watched Tin Cup. I'm probably the only golfer in the world has never watched it.
Really?
Because to me it's just not authentic or something. I don't know how to explain it really.
Right. What about documentary? I thought the Golf Channel did with Jack was unbelievable.
Loopers.
That was unbelievable.
Yeah, I like that. That was good, but that's real stuff. You know?
Yeah. No. Well, which
that's
one?
Real. I like
the Ben Hogan one was spectacular.
Follow the Sun.
Follow the Sun was interesting, yeah.
Yeah, no, I'm talking about the Golf Channel's Ben Hogan documentary.
Oh, that
yes,
was
that very
stuff
good.
Is good. Yeah, I like that stuff.
Yeah.
Very much so.
Yeah. Ben Hogan and Arnie's, too. All of them.
Yes, Arnie.
I just saw something on ESPN yesterday, the Lakers-Celtics rivalry.
Oh, my goodness.
They went all the way back to the 60s and stuff and interviewing the players. It was 2 hours. It was terrific.
Yeah.
Really. Really good stuff.
I would highly recommend Basketball is Love or Love is Basketball. Not Love and Basketball. That's a movie and it's terrible. But there is what ESPN did, they put out like 50 different, I don't know how many, but a bunch of them, different little mini docs of all kinds of subjects like that. The Lakers in Boston, Michael playing baseball, all of these things was just spectacular.
Yeah, their 30 for 30s are very good.
Yep. So you're going to have plenty of time. You got plenty of time. We're going to have – I'm serious. I don't think we're going to have anything going on sports-wise for at least 30 days. Have you
–
Now they have said that they're possibly – they have said they're postponing the Masters. They're not going to play it in April.
That was a good decision because it – they can play it in October.
They can play it in October. Would that be wild?
I've heard from a reasonable, reliable source that they are considering very seriously hosting the event in October. But there's a lot of loose ends involved there. As you know, John, you know, tournament winners from April to April get in the Masters. So now you're going to have, if the tour continues, let's say, right, Charlie, you'll have all these tournament winners. So the field would be bigger. But if they have it in October, then it's technically part of the wraparound season. So would it be considered the 2021 Masters, right?
Because I think they'll play the 2020.
I don't think they will, but... And then they're going to have to maybe knock off a tour event to have it. So there's all kinds of logistical things that I somehow think the Masters will win all these battles.
There's a tournament.
Yeah,
they're talking about a date that would go against the Bahamas tournament, for example. So the Masters is the big bull in the China, and they're going to play the 2020.
Well, there's plenty of guys that don't qualify.
With the field that who was ever eligible at this event you can play in October.
I would think that they'd have to go, you know, if you win a tournament, you get to play in the Masters. You would almost have to go right up until the Masters as opposed to stopping that in April, Bill, because you might have some really hot golfers that wouldn't be in.
If it technically counts as the 2020 Masters, then they could pretty much stay with the field that they have right now.
I think that would be fair.
Tour, which I'm sure they can, to say this is not part of the wraparound season. These are extenuating circumstances. Right. And don't forget, they want to still host the Ladies Invitational too. And from and the putt chip and drive contest for the kids. So my scouts tell me they want to be able to do all three of those events. I played there in October, and the course wasn't in pristine condition. But if they know they're going to have the Masters in October, you know, then they will proceed accordingly, and it will be perfect. So I sure hope they do it. I also heard that the PGA of America had contacted the PGA Tour, and they might not be able to have the PGA Championship at Harding Park in May. And they were wondering if they could use the Players Club, Charlie.
Interesting.
For their PGA Championship. I heard that through the grapevine, also from a player, actually. I heard that. So there's all kinds of things going on now. Oddly enough, we don't even know if they'll be playing golf on the tour in May.
That's right.
How about the U.S. Open? Well, how about my announcing debut might be in jeopardy, you know?
Well, join the club. Join the club there, pal.
Well, you definitely are there with the XFL for sure.
Yeah, we lost our games, that's for sure. Here's the thing, though, I think is, again, golf is not nearly as dangerous as other sports, and you're not, you know, I could see shutting down football, guys are sweating all over each other, and basketball, you're up against each other, and you're sweating, and all the stuff that your bodily fluids that are being exchanged. Golf is nothing like that. If everybody got tested, everybody that was going to be at the course, all the people that are working it and everything else, no fans there, and everybody got tested, and everybody passed and did not have the coronavirus, I don't see any reason why three guys couldn't walk down a golf course together. I think golf could be one of the first ones that would start up.
Well, I was kind of surprised, to be honest with you, that they played the first round of the Players' Championship, because every major sport had shut it down, and even at NCAA, all of their athletics. I thought it was very odd that the PGA Tour was not going to be on board with that, but then again, the points that you bring up, John, of three guys walking down the fairway, they're not in hand-to-hand combat.
Right.
And then to cancel the tournament after one round, I thought was also equally kind of odd. But it sounds like some of the players had something to do with it, too. That's kind of what I got out of it also, Charlie and John, that some of the players were wondering why they were out there doing it. If they hadn't been tested, like you said, John, and the caddies hadn't been tested. So I was kind of surprised that, A, that they started the tournament, and B, that after one round they packed it in.
Yeah. No. Well, C.T. Pond said, no, I ain't playing. He said, I don't want any part of this because I don't, you know, this is too dangerous. And then you're right.
He's not going to get $52,000 either. You read that?
Yeah. Yeah.
All the players split half the purse.
So
each player got $52,000 because he withdrew. He didn't get it.
all right. We've got another break right here. You're listening to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, brought to you by Insperity, inspiring business performance, right here on the SB Nation Radio Network.
This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Powered by Insperity. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios with Bill Harmon and the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps. Here's John Granato.
All right, welcome back to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, brought to you by Insperity, Inspiring Business Performance, right here on the SB Nation Radio Network. Bill, you were talking about, I don't think this has been, I remember 9/11 back in 2001. I was raising money for cerebral palsy, UCP, here in Houston, and they said, man, it's just been horrible because, you know, everybody, you know, when something like this happens, you forget about the charities. I was just watching a commercial for St. Jude's, and I'm thinking, you know, all these businesses that are losing money right now, all the stock market money that's being lost right now, those are the people that really donate to these charities and might not be able to this year. So while we're, you know, we're thinking about all the hourly employees and the, you know, paycheck to paycheck people, what about all these charities that are really going to get hit hard this year?
I this thing is so far reaching. I don't think any of us really, I don't know what to say about it, to be honest with you. I just think it's going to get much worse before it gets better. I certainly hope I'm wrong. Robin just told me they shut down all the schools in L.A. and San Diego for the next 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think it's just getting started, all the quarantines and things of that nature and shutting down this and shutting down that. It's very, very, I don't know what the word is for it. Very concerning, I guess.
Absolutely. And here's the thing, too, is I feel bad for, you know, I love to watch every year the NCAA golf tournament. I mean, we thought, you know, basketball, everybody's on. The basketball tournament is out. But forget about the other sports. I love watching the guys and the ladies play in the NCAA tournament. And those seniors, they never got a chance to play for that national championship. I heard, you know, somebody saying, I think Calipari or somebody else saying, why don't we give these seniors another year? You know what? If they want to come back, they kind of got ripped off. What's the difference if they come back and they play again? What, they're going to get more education? I'm going to make them go to school, but let's give them another shot to come back and play and finish up a career the way that they should. I would love, that would be great. For, you know, there's a lot of kids that will never compete again. Why not let them compete for the way that they should have?
All the high school basketball tournaments here in Texas is gone.
Well, that you can't give them another
year. You can't do anything
year.
About that.
No, another year, because they can go on to college. But
yeah.
But this is but the college kids, you know, this is the last time that the vast majority of them will ever play again, and they never got that shot. So that would be kind of neat.
You know, I heard the San Diego State coach, I think they were like 30-2.
Yeah.
He said that although he would be in favor of that, he thought that that should be at least discussed. He said, what about the teams that didn't have any seniors? You know, and so you're going to let other teams come back that did have seniors that weren't in the NCAA tournament, let's say. He said there was a lot of things, moving parts on that he felt need to be discussed. I think there was one school, maybe Villanova, that didn't have any seniors on the team, which is hard to believe,
right.
You know.
But
this guy's point was, what about the teams that didn't have seniors? They don't get to bring somebody back, you know. So he was talking about competitive balance, and he said the emotional decision is obvious. You let them come back.
Well, but...
But there's other things you have to talk about, too, he said.
There's already 5,000 people that have died. You're going to bring
them
back?
That's right. I think we get off we're off on this tangent adversity is a part of life.
Yeah.
You don't always get what you want, and the reality is that hopefully when this is all over, everybody that's been touched and involved in it will realize and be grateful for the freedoms that we actually do have, and we can look at this thing. I know when I got home yesterday and I told Robin that we were shut down, I mean, I'm losing 2 weeks of income and this and that and so on and so forth. And she said, are you worried? And I said, on a scale from 1 to 100, I might be a 1. Yeah. Because I've learned to accept stuff like this in life. There's nothing I can do about it.
Yeah.
We are financially have the wherewithal to take this hit. And like I've said a couple times on the show, I worry about the people that are living paycheck to paycheck. And they're trying to raise a family, and they might not be able to put food on the table. I worry about them more than I worry about me, because I've I've already been pretty fortunate. So,
well, that's where our government.
I really do worry about those people myself.
Our government has to step up and do the right thing, and I think they will do it. I think this is a wake up call for them. Instead of fighting all the time, now how can we help out the American public? And just like you say, the average Joe that's in living paycheck to paycheck, you know, we can do this, this, and this. So moving forward, I think we're all going to learn from this. This is a learning experience. But as it is, we just got to be careful from day to day. Mm-hmm. We don't get it, you know.
That's it. Scary. No, absolutely. Take care of yourself. Be safe.
Yeah.
Be safe out there. So, but guys, I do believe that, you know, that people will be playing a lot of golf. There's going to be more free time. Hey, I think, you know, maybe we'll like that there are no sports on television. Instead of wasting our time, we'll be out. We'll be out with the family. You can take your son out golfing or whatnot. You guys have been there, done that, Charlie. Played forever, Billy. You played forever and caddy forever. And you've seen how... Honestly, let's talk a little bit about the basics. How do you start? Very first thing you do. What do the pros do when they're warming up? How do they get started?
Well, in today's world, you know, they've learned so much about stretching and the value of that. And a lot of guys are even working out before they go play golf, which I've always thought was dangerous. But they do it. They get the body going. You know, 3 hours beforehand, they start working on their pre-shot routine, but also on their stretching and bending. And
well, I don't think we have time for that. You know what I'm saying? Let's say we get to the course. What,
John,
do we do?
John, you do have time.
I don't have time. We don't have the ability hours beforehand.
You could be standing up right now doing some stretching. I mean, if you're going to go play golf today.
Right.
Are you?
Yeah.
So get up.
I can't. I'm talking on the radio right now. I have to sit down and do that. See, that's what I'm saying. You know, a lot of people are working and don't have that ability.
I saw our good friend Bill, you know, at his facility last week or 2 weeks ago, you know, and his golf swing has really improved. His speed has really picked
Thank
up,
you.
And because he's been working at it.
You've been trying to get more limber, Bill?
Yeah, well, I do some stuff with some training aids and things like that. I do some stuff every day. And even though I'll be 70 this year, you know, I can still get it over 100 miles an hour clubhead speed. And Charlie will know how good that is because,
yes.
What are you, in the 80s now, Charlie? I'm not being critical.
Yeah, no. I'm 85 is my max.
Yeah, so I can still hit the ball over 250 yards in the air.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I still have some giddy up left in my game, but yeah, I do. When I get off the radio here, I'm going to go run 3 miles, and I'm going to have 2 weeks to get myself in better shape. So I'll do some more exercises. I'm going to go get my clubs here sometime today, and I've already been invited to play at other courses and things like that. And so I'll probably play more golf in the next couple of weeks, but. What I always do, John, is I always hit a bunch of wedges when I start out, 40, 50-yard wedges. I might hit 50 balls if I have the time to do that.
Mm-hmm.
No, I always think you should start with a short club and just try to get the club on the ball and hit it solid. And that's what I try to do, hit short irons and see if I can put the club on the ball, and then if I have directional issues, I'll try to address those. But by and large, I'm just trying to hit it on the club face. To be honest,
yeah, absolutely. I
got to see what you got today because it might not. It'll probably be different than what you had yesterday.
You know what?
Absolutely.
What was interesting in being around Jack Nicklaus and we watched him for 4 hours and he would start off with his 8-iron and. Start hitting that 8-iron when he thought he was really making solid contact, he would go to his 4-iron. And he would try to swing his 4-iron like his 8-iron. That's a good tip. If the amateurs can swing more irons, you have more iron shots. But, you know, that 4-iron is a transition from iron shots to hybrid shots. So then if you have the 4-iron going, go ahead to your hybrid. And just, you know, if not, then go back to your 8-iron. But you got to have some success.
Try to swing that same way.
Yeah.
Most of us, I would think, I'm going to speak for a lot of amateur golfers, we will get there a half hour before, somewhere in that neighborhood before our tee time. because our time is limited, obviously. It's already 5 hours that we're taking to play and, you know, have a beer afterwards or whatever.
Well, then don't. Your expectations should be lowered.
Well, but we still want to play as well as we possibly can, obviously. Yeah, I mean, obviously. But, yeah, take and try to hit the club as best you possibly can. Take a wedge or a pitching wedge or 9 or 8 and hit that as well as you possibly get that swing going. What your brother told me, Bill, Dick, told me, he said, get your tempo.
Yeah.
If there's one thing that you can do on the driving range, is get some tempo so that you bring that out on the golf course.
Tempo, timing, and rhythm.
That's right. That's right. Get some tempo out there on the driving range because, again, not everybody can dedicate as much time to it as others. I mean, not everybody can. And so we want to play as well as we possibly can with the limited time that we do have. So is that something that you would advise is tempo?
I would say that, but I would say start off with a 3-wood, not your driver.
Really?
You don't have time to, you know, take an easier club to hit off a number one. A 5-wood for a lot of the amateurs is going to go further than their driver because the 5-wood gets the ball in the air and it flies better. So the 5-wood, 3-wood concept, go with an easier club, Bill, in the first couple of holes, and you got a better chance of hitting the fairway.
Good luck on getting anybody to do that.
Yeah, no, right. We'll get out of the car and
I'm not disagreeing with you, Charlie.
I agree with you.
Yeah. I can't tell you how many times get out of the car and go right to the first tee and hit a driver without warming up or anything.
Yeah. Yeah. They always said about Ben Crenshaw when he was a junior, Brent Buckman, who was, he knew Crenshaw to be coming sliding. He had a 442 Oldsmobile. He'd be sliding through the parking lot, and the dust would be way up, and he'd run right up to the first tee and hit his driver and just go.
That's right. Bruce Litsky, how many balls did he hit before he went and played?
Never.
How about your favorite, John Daly, Bill? He'd go right to the first tee with no shoes on.
Yeah. I always tried to emulate him.
Whatever John Daly does, let's do it. I mean, if you do have time, Billy likes to hit a bunch of wedges. See, Bill, you don't. So, I mean, you're going on 70 years old here, and you don't tire out hitting a big buck, a large bucket before you go out and play.
No, I don't really. I'm pretty golf. I hit hundreds of balls every day. So I actually get to the – I hit probably balls at least an hour every day. and so my golf muscles are pretty tuned. Mm-hmm. And I know and I don't mean this – I understand where Charlie's at in his game. I see it with my brother Butch. And I know I'm next, you know. So I'm kind of holding on to what I got for a while. I still think I might have a couple of years left of hitting it. 240, 250 in the air, and then it's going to start going downhill. It's like Bob Golby said, you pretty soon you're going to be driving like you pee.
All right, 854.
Which is a great visual when you think about it.
We've got to take one more break, and we'll be back finishing it up right here on the Charlie Ops Golf Hour, brought to you by Insperity, inspiring business performance.
This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Powered by Insperity. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios with Bill Harmon and the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps. Here's John Granato.
All right, just a couple of minutes left. This is where we pick the winners this week, guys.
That's it. And the winners are...
Nobody's winning
the
in this.
The toilet paper company.
Yeah.
I hope the world is
Charmin.
Winner. And they get, you know, the results and be able to have a vaccine and get everybody back to normal. Now we learn to appreciate what we had, you know. So we're all learning from that, that's
right.
For sure.
The rumor has it Cleveland is head and University of Tennessee. Who'd have thunk those two places might come up with the vaccine? But all right, I would have thought Vanderbilt or Rice or you know what I'm saying.
Yeah,
but we're gonna go with UT.
But
University
I can remember when I was a young boy, the big vaccine was polio.
Yeah,
you know you had to Salt invented that, and that saved a lot of lives.
Oh, heck yeah, heck yeah. Hopefully this comes early and we can get that vaccine and we can get back to some kind of normalcy, save a lot of lives as well. That's the most important thing. There's so many people are affected by this thing. So hopefully that will happen. Well, Bill, have a great golf week. I think you're going to be joined by a lot of people. We're going to have a lot of free time, and I think hopefully the golf courses people get out there.
Yeah, you be careful. You be careful. Bye bye, Bill.
All right, and you be careful too. You're not playing.
No,
we got a little knee injury going on with you.
I'm a new coach for my grandson.
You're going to coach your grandson.
That's it.
And that'll be tremendous. And we want to thank Insperity real quick here.
Yes, John.
Before we go, thank you, Insperity, for sponsoring the show.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, you guys are wonderful. We really do appreciate it. Insperity, inspiring business performance right here on the SB Nation Radio Network. Y'all have a great golf week. Get on out there and play. You're just with a couple of people and enjoy golf. As we go through these trying times. We'll talk to you again next week, everybody.